will essentially devote itself to a number of topics that relate to both Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut. But the framework of the shiur I would like to present in terms of Hakaras HaTov. The Chevetz Chavovos writes that the most fundamental midah, if you will, the tashtit of kol midah, the foundation of all midos, is Hakaras HaTov, gratitude to Hashem Yisbarach. I'd like to begin with the Rabban in Parshas Hazino. The Rabban in the Shira of Hazino, he points out that essentially what you have there is a kind of historical overview of the saga of Jewish history. In short, in brief, Klal Yisrael, with all its ups and downs, all of its zigzags, and the language of the Ramban is very revealing. The Ramban says, "V'hine Hashira Hazos, the Shira of Hazino, Ashehi Banu Leit Emes V'Nemon, which is a truthful and authentic document. Tagid Kol Hamotzos Osanu B'Beyur. In Hazino, essentially, you have a synopsis of all Jewish history. And just to provide a praise of the Ramban without reading it, Ramban goes on to say, first the Torah mentions the chesed that Hashem Yisbarach did for us, took us out of Mitzrayim, Maman HaSinai, all the beneficence that Hashem provided us in our sojourn in the Midbar, Vasher Hidchilonu Arzos Hagoyim Hagdolim V'Atzumim, and the fact that we were Zoche, He bequeathed to us Eretz Yisrael as a Nachla, Berov HaTova V'Oshem HaKobad Asher Hidchilonu Ba, and essentially a cornucopia of chesed that was provided to us by Hashem. V'Chimerov HaTova, and unfortunately and tragically, all as a result of abundance, we rebel against Hashem and then we both shall react to the task, and that task can manifest itself in all types of different punishments in Eretz Yisrael. Deber, Bira, Bechayera, Becherev, plague and pestilence and the like. The Akhari Chain, peace and some of the Ruach Seya. And then we go into the Golos. Then we're exiled. The Yadua Tikos and Niskayim by Yehi Chain. All this came to fruition. All this occurred. And of course, subsequently, we return to Hashem Yisbarach, recognizing our wayward ways. The Yomra Ashira Kibisov Yashuv Nokom Bitsarov Limsan of Yishalim. But at the end, Hashem Yisbarach will take revenge against our enemies, who obviously gloat over our downfall, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will pay them back. There will be recompense that will be meted out to them. This is a statement of the ultimate Geula, and the Ramban calls it Shtar Edus. He calls it a Shtar, a document of testimony. Shenasa Horos, we're going to unfortunately regress, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will give us Tochacha. However, Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Klal Yisrael remains eternal. We are the eternal nation, and ultimately we will be restored, and ultimately there will be not just Olam Hazeh, but Olam Haba, and all this is embedded in the Shira. The Ramban in Parshas Hazino alludes to the underlying Yisod of the entire Pasha, which is the ups and downs of Klal Yisrael. But the Ramban says the Torah uses the following terminology a number of times. Am Navo V'lo Chacham. The word Navo, Nun Bet Lamin, says the Ramban, refers to someone who's an ingrate. Sheshachlu HaTov She'asalem. Someone who's not grateful to Hashem Yisbarach, who lacks Hakaras HaTov. The Ramban says, someone who does a favor for me, Yikarei Nadiv. He's called someone who's a Nadvan, who's generous. And if instead of responding affirmatively to the person who showered me with grace and beneficence, I do the opposite, that's called a Navo. Nun Bet Lamin. And the Ramban refers to Psukim in Tanakh, and this idea is mentioned a number of times in the Ramban. So the Yisod of the Pasha, says the Ramban, is Hakaras HaTov.
And Hakaras HaTov is the Yesod Gadol Be'emunah, maybe the most fundamental principle in our faith that we have to have. We're Avdei Hashem. We have to be Makir Tov to the Bari Olam, to Hashem Yisbarach, for all the benefaction that He provided us. Someone who's missing this Yesod, Ikar Chasim in HaSefer. That's a terrible blemish, a terrible begam. And Chazal say, Kol HaKofir B'Tovaso Shachar Yisbarach Hu, someone who denies the Hatovah of Hashem Yisbarach, someone who first denies the Hatovah Shel Chaveiro, excuse me. First he denies the Hatovah of a friend, someone who provides him with Chesed, B'Sof Kofir B'Tovaso Shachar Yisbarach Hu. And Chazal bring many rayas to this, one or two simple rayas. Initially, the Torah says, Vayaka Melo Chadash al Mitzvoyim Hashem Loriya, that Yosef. First, the power was not Makir Tov to the individual who economically salvaged the entire Egyptian economy, namely Yosef. And then a bit later, Pasuk says that Paro articulates the idea, Lo Yadati Es Hashem, the Gamis Yisrael Lo Asharea. So we go from a lack of Hakaras HaTov to a Chaver, and that ultimately graduates to a lack of Hakaras HaTov in Hashem Yisbarach. So this Chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov, as we know, is even to a domain. The Ramban has in Chumash four categories: domain, Tomea, Chai, Medaber. Domain means inanimate objects. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to the initial Makos, they were carried out not by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather by Aaron HaKohen. And the reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu, as Rashi points out, when he was thrown into the Nile, so the Nile protected Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefikach lo loka al yado, lo bedam, lo betzadeya. And the one who carried out the Makkah was Aaron HaKohen. Why is that so? Because of this midah of Hakaras HaTov. So Hakaras HaTov applies to a domain, inorganic objects, applies to Bali Chai, is a well-known, very well-known episode relating to Hagoyim, Rabbi Yisrael Zev Gusman, Zechasai B'Drachal. I was also at the Yeshurim from him when I was in Eretz Yisrael in 1971. He was Rosh Yeshiva Netzach Yisrael. So he himself had a practice. He used to go ahead and water the bushes, a kind of garden that was actually growing in the chatzar of the yeshiva. And the question is why, when he was asked. And the answer is because when he ran away from either the communists or the Nazis in Vilna, so he hid behind one of the sikhim, one of the bushes, in order to protect himself from those that were pursuing him. And as a result, he saved his life. They saved his life. And because of that, he was makir tov kol yomov to these sikhim, to these bushes. And as an oath of Hakaras HaTov, he himself would water them. He'd water those sikhim in the garden of the yeshiva. Of course, the sikhim in the garden of the yeshiva were not the same sikhim that saved him. So why should he feel any sense of Hakaras HaTov to those sikhim? And of course, the answer is that since this min, this species, was that which saved him, he felt the need to be makir tov the entire min. The Shinu Gubetes in Baba Kama, quotes a Maisa Mufla. This Maisa I heard from Agusman Zatzal. He quotes a Maisa. We see how Rishonim was so careful in Hakaras HaTov, even to a domain, an inorganic object. The Rif once got sick. Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, the famous, the great Rif. And the Shita says, V'nichnas etzel adam echad b'merchas sh'ayla b'veso. So he went to use someone's merchas, someone's bathhouse. A certain person had a private bathhouse. And he had hanor from that merchas. And that merchas was able to bring him back, Baruch Hashem, to restore his health. After a certain point in time, that individual became impoverished and had himself in Merchatz in order to pay up his debts. So those that were involved in this came to the Rif and asked him if he could possibly be a dayan and evaluate what the value of this Merchatz is in order that it should be able to be sold for a good price. And the Rif answered, this is Lashon V'Shita Baba Kama, Lo Odom V'Lo Eire B'Merchatz Hazeh, I can't pass on a Shaila regarding this bathhouse. Lo b'mecher, neither in its sale, v'lo b'shuma, neither in its appraisal, v'lo b'shum davar misyachi d'lo. Nor anything having to do with his merchatz. L'fi shiris tamesi nimeno. because I had hanor from it. And since he had hanor from it, he felt the need to makir tov to a domain. Silta Moshe Rabbeinu, Hakaras HaTov. And this din of Hakaras HaTov is so fundamental and so basic, even to those individuals who maltreat us and don't treat us in a proper kind of way, there's a chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov. The Torah says in Dvarim, Lo sisai mitzri ki ger ha'isa v'yatso. Don't abhor an Egyptian because you lived in Egypt. Not exactly under five-star hotel conditions. That's the understatement of the year. We were subjected to avodas perech. They subjected us to harsh labor. And yet, because we were orchim, we were guests, as it were, in Egypt during the Shnos HaRav, and we had hanor from them, is an obligation of being makir tov. Lo sisai mitzri ki ger ha'isa v'yatso. So it's amazing the extent of Hakaras HaTov that we are chayav, and all embracing, all encompassing kind of obligation that we have to be very cognizant of. Just one or two more references to Hakaras HaTov, and that will be the framework for the entire Shia. The Gemara says in Ksubis, and Daf Kuf Hei Amidei, the Gemara there tells us in the context of a judge not showing favoritism and not taking bribes, ki ashokad ye'aver enech ha'famim b'yitzalei divrei tzadikim. Because the bribe attacks the ability of a judge to judge properly, to judge fairly. And of course, monetary bribes are certainly forbidden, but even verbal bribes are also forbidden. Flattery, all kinds of kind words can affect a person's judgment. So the Gemara tells a series of stories about Amoraim regarding rejecting bribes. Gemara tells one story, Shmuel was having difficulty crossing a bridge that was rickety. A certain person stuck out his hand, helped him cross the bridge. Shmuel then asked him, what are you doing here? The person told Shmuel, I have a din Torah. I'm coming to you for a din Torah for adjudication. So Shmuel said, I'm disqualified. I can't be a dayan. I just received a favor from you by virtue of the fact that you helped me cross the bridge. And the Gemara tells another incident, about a neighbor sitting in Bezdin, a feather flew on top of his hat. Someone came and removed the feather, and then he told a neighbor he was there to have his case heard in a neighbor's Bezdin. A neighbor disqualified himself from hearing the case. A whole series of incidents, the Gemara reports. So many years ago, I heard from Hagoyim, Ravram Yaakov Pam, Zechatag de Bracha. He has an obvious question on this Gemara. What? These Amoraim were so fickle that the slightest favor could influence them. What's the big deal about such little matters, about such small things that were done for them? So Rav Pam said the lesson of this Gemara is not so much about judicial integrity or the corrosive nature of bribes, but rather the concept of Hakaras HaTov. These Amoraim were so indebted, even for the slightest favor, that the din of Hakaras HaTov is applicable, even though probably to many of us it will be insignificant. Rapam then went on to say a shmooze about the overarching importance of Hakaras HaTov, and he said that probably we would have a totally different society in terms of interaction between parents and children, husbands and wives, human beings in general, if we had Hakaras HaTov when it was in order. And I'll just be messiah in this section with one very sharp story that I'm very fond of. Harav Kook Zatzal, when he was a rabbi in Europe before he moved to Eretz Israel, he spent time in the summer in the Baltic Sea coast in Latvia. Custom of many European rabbanim today, rabbanim in Eretz Israel, already for many years, sometimes go to the Alps, go to Switzerland for the air that's there. And like, anyway, so he went to the Baltic Sea coast in Latvia. There was a hall where people made binyanim, and one of the Dodom of Yerushalayim happened to be there one evening and had yahrzeit, Hagoyim Rabuvin Bengis, Zechatag Bidracha. There were only 9 people in the hall. So one of the people in the hall went outside looking for a minyan for Rabuvin Bengis' yahrzeit. And outside, there was a thin fellow who was trying to form a minyan, and he had an exact minyan. The person from inside the hall did not realize that, and he grabbed one person from the outside group into the inside hole for that minion, for Abengus's minion. And even though it was all unintentional, the person who organized the minion outside stormed into the hall and started screaming at Rabengus. And he started hurling insults at him. And Rakuk, who was well known for his honesty style for every single Jew, he went to the person who was berating Rabengus and slapped him across the face because he embarrassed a great Talmud Chacham. The slap person became so angry at Rakuk, that's how he said, I'm going to take him to a secular court, to a Goyish court, for assault and battery. And the whole commotion developed. And a number of people asked Rakuk, could he possibly apologize so that the whole matter won't go any further? Rakuk refused. He said, it was to my kavod, I could apologize. But this involved the kavod ha'tora of one of the Dor, Rabengus. He was embarrassed. I'm not sorry I slapped him. I had to stand up for the kavod of the Talmud Chacham. Let this person take me to court. I don't care. A few days passed, and the fellow had a change of heart. He came to Rav Kook, he apologized to him, he told him, I'm not going to take you to court, and seemingly, that was the end of the story. Years later, Rav Kook came to America and was approached by the person who he slapped earlier in this Latvian seacoast town, and the person told Rav Kook, I can't thank you enough. I owe you a profound hatarasatov. A tremendous gratitude. He took out a gold watch and he gave it to Rav Kook. So Rav Kook said, my high, what is going on over here? So he explained that after Rav Kook slapped him, his life became absolutely miserable in Europe. As a result of that tumultuous incident, he became notorious. He became known as the Jew who yelled at Rabengus and the Jew who was slapped by Rav Kook. Those are his two claims to fame. So he had no choice but to leave Europe and to go to America where no one knew him. And in America, l'mazolo, he became a millionaire. He felt his good fortune, his mazol, was all the result of the fact that Rav Kook slapped him and he wanted to show him Makar Satov. What a mind-boggling story. So what do we see? That sometimes we should show gratitude even for a slap in the face. And likewise, these Amoraim that I mentioned in Ksubis and Akufei, they felt a super sensitivity for Kakara Sato, even for what seems to be trivial matters. And the same is true of Klal Yisrael, B'mesh HaKol HaDoros. The Chafetz Chaim was a kohen, he wasn't able to attend Levayis, funerals. A woman died. She once donated a window to his yeshiva in Radin. It was a simple window. It was not a Chagall, fancy stained glass kind of window. A very simple, unadorned kind of window. And even though the Chafetz Chaim could not enter the Beis HaKoros, and despite his old age, he walked a very long distance behind the Aron, behind the casket, to the cemetery to accompany the body, to burial, to be malabed the mace as HaKoros HaTov for the donation of the widow. So it's mind-boggling, the fundamental yesod of Akar HaTov, which is a yesod in Kol HaTorah Kulam. And with this, I would like to begin the discussion that relates to the issues that I would like to discuss in this year. And I'm going to begin with a story that I myself was zeichet to hear from Hagaon Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal. There are many people who have issues with the state of Israel. That's the understatement of the year. They're not happy about the secular state. There's a lot of problematica here. There are many difficulties. And people as well, because of that, have difficulties with kemat. Anything that the state sets up, quickly they dismiss it summarily. And one of the items that is also the subject of a lot of controversy is Yom HaZikaron. The day before Yom HaAtzmaut, namely today, which commemorates the Ilui Nishmas, all the soldiers of Chayalei Tzal, who are Meisa Nefesh, in order that we should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael, in order to establish the state. And the following story is the true story I heard this yisod from Rabbeinu Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal myself in 1971, but the story precedes me. Rabbeinu Yisrael may allow Shlita Shashem Yarech Yomov, the former chief rabbi of the state of Israel, one of the former chief rabbis, he himself told the following story as well. Every day, someone would drive Shlomo Zalman Auerbach from his home in Shari Chesed of Yishalayim to his yeshiva in Beit Dagan. It's not such a lengthy trip, but occasionally, Agoyner Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal would ask the driver to pull up for a few moments beside Har Herzl, which is the burial site of Israel fallen soldiers, where he would recite Tehillim. And that unfortunately did not happen today because there's a seger due to the corona situation. So the question is, why did he do this? So the Talmud once approached Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and asked him if he could have a kind of time out from his learning in the yeshiva, so he could travel north to pray at the Kvarim of the Tzaddikim, all the way up north of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shlomo Zalman looked perplexed, but didn't immediately answer him. So sensing the hesitation of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Talmud elaborated, says he had some personal issues to think through, and he thought by going to Davin at the Kvarim of the Tzaddikim, it would help him. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal replied, of course he understood what the Talmud wanted to do and why he wanted to do it, but why would you travel 4 hours to Davin to pray by the Kvarim of a few Tzaddikim when there are thousands of them buried on Har Herzl just 5 minutes from the yeshiva? And as Rav Shlomo Zalman saw in these soldiers, individuals who died on Kiddush Hashem, who gave it their lives for Eretz Yisrael, for the state of Israel. And the Gemara tells us both in Maseches Tzachim and Avnun, and the Gemara in Tainus as well. The Gemara speaks about Adaf Yisches to the days in Maseches Tainus about two brothers, Lulianus and Popus. The Gemara says that they occupy such an exalted position in Olam HaEmes that no one is able, lamo b'chitzoson, no one can actually stand within their barriers, and they were martyred. The Gemara there tells us that the emperor's daughter had died, and the entire area was under a gzera of being killed, and they gave their lives not to save the entire area. So we have to remember those who were mitzvah nefesh for Eretz Yisrael. We have to be humbled by bravery and grateful for the carbon that they offered. And thanks to them, we can visit and we can live in Eretz Yisrael safely. And we see the Yad Hashem involved in this as well. A second element, which I will share with you also, relevant to the same issue. In 1971, for a bit over a year, I used to go hear the Sichot of Hagoyin of Chaim Shulev Zatzal. When I was in Eretz Yisrael learning, before Yom Kippur, Rav Chaim Shulev said over the following shmooze, the following Sicha. He said he went to the Kesel HaMarovi, and he met there a Chayal Chiloni, a secular soldier. And he went over to the soldier, and he hugged him and kissed him, and the soldier was taken aback by this yeshiva-looking kind of fellow with a long frock. And he asked the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, Hagoyin Rav Chaim Shulev Zatzal, why are you hugging and kissing me? And this is what Rav Chaim said over the shmooz. And he told the soldier, if not for you, Yeshivat Mir lo yichola lachzik mamad tov Eretz Yisrael. If not for you, the Mir Yeshiva would not be able to survive for a second in Eretz Yisrael. So here's the Goyin Ador, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, expressing his hakaras hatov to a chayal chiloni, to a secular soldier. A secular soldier who's ready to fight, to give up his life on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And that is unquestionably what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal had in mind when he invited the Talmud to pray and daven by the kever of the soldiers who are buried in Har Herzl. Those men and women gave the only true thing they owned, their lives, in order that Klal Yisrael should be able to live here in Eretz Yisrael. So Yom HaZikaron that precedes Yom HaZikaron is a day which is critical, a day where we express HaKaras HaTov, our profound gratitude to all those soldiers who are Meisei Nefesh, that we can live in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik added a rather massive chiddush to this idea, and he spoke about the dagel, the flag of the Medinat Yisrael, of the state of Israel. There is a din in Shomach in Yerodeya. The Gemara says first in Ma'ikotin, the end of Ma'ikotin, the Gemara says that the Tanoim, when they enacted basic enactments for Kvura, how people should be buried, they indicated people should be buried in simple shrouds, in simple tachrichim. And that's Kvon Lallach and Shogadach, the beginning of Simen Shinun Beis. En Kovin Hameis to tachrichim Yikorim, we don't bury people in fancy shrouds, even Nasi Shev Yisrael. And then in Simen Shin Samach Dalim, in the name of Rishon, and the Mechaber says, if a Jew is found killed, they should bury him as he is below tachrichim. Even in his bloodied garments, the Shach explains over there, should look down and see that this Jew was not buried with regular tachrichim, but he was probably killed al pikiyus Hashem, and that should be ma'ir rach mishamayim. And the Sefer Chassidim had a similar kind of halacha, a similar kind of din. So Rav Soloveitchik extrapolates that halacha to the flag, the blue and white flag of the state of Israel. The flag that was planted in different areas where we had to conquer or reconquer Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs, and unquestionably, a lot of Jewish blood was shed. A lot of treason occurred in order to be able to plant that flag on many different shachim, and many people were made to nefesh. Many soldiers lost their lives, and there Rav Soloveitchik felt he had a hagosha that this dagel of the state of Israel is in the status of a Jew who's killed and his begotten are buried with him. La'ore rachmei shamayim. It's a symbol for shvichas dam of a Jew. And that's also a very significant and very important element embedded in the idea of Yom HaZikaron. So we began by discussing a fundamental yisod of Hakaras HaTov. A yisod which is really the foundation of everything. So then one might for a moment muse, so why is it that there's so many difficulties if something is so fundamental and basic? Namely, Yom HaZikaron is something so critical, so significant. People are making nefesh. How could we not be makir tov? And similarly, a state of Israel is founded that became a refuge for Jews after the Holocaust, where we found a home, we found an address, we were able to be together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. How could we not be makir tov? It's milta d'pshita, elementary, my dear Watson. So fundamental, so basic, how can anyone think otherwise? So I just want to address that question for a moment. Mesos Yisharim has a very famous chapter, Parakut Tes, on Mesos Yisharim, called Mishkal HaChassidus. A very significant chapter. All of us learn the Mesos Yisharim, which of course is a maybe the most fundamental of all Mussar Svarim, and certainly one of the most fundamental of all Mussar Svarim. Essentially, what is Mishkal HaChassidus? Mishkan HaChassidus is the ability to weigh and sift conflicting desideratum that exist in our lives. All of us are confronted with these conflicts on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. Let's use a simple example. And there are many examples that Messiah Sicharim himself offers in order to describe this phenomenon. But we can do some practical examples that perhaps are relevant in our own lives. A person who's already in a yeshiva, but he wants to daven with kavana, he wants to daven properly, and so he goes a little bit beyond the time, and he comes late to the yeshiva. And then he justifies his behavior, I daven with great kavana, so I can come late to the yeshiva. I don't have to come on time for my talmidim. Is he acting appropriately, correctly? Shulchan Aruch quotes in Halacha that a mechanech has to be careful, or oisem alachas Hashem riyamia. God forbid he should engage in any kind of ramos, any kind of deception, lack of diashrus. And of course, the answer is he's acting inappropriately. If he wants to have such kavana, be such a chassid, let him get up an hour earlier. Let him go to a different minyan 2 hours earlier. He can daven with all the kavanah that he can, but he has an achrayus to his talmidim, and that achrayus to his talmidim, which is a contractual achrayus, a kosher mishpat achrayus, overrides his frumkeit. In that case, his frumkeit is falsha frumkeit, absolutely unfounded and ungrounded. I can give you many examples. There's no shortage of them. Right now, in our own corona situation, there were many people who felt, and understandably, they want to daven the minyan, and we know the food. And yet, there came a situation where they weren't able to. There were health directives of the Misrad HaBriyot here, and I'm sure in Chutz La'aretz as well, that prevented them from doing so. So now they're caught of the Misrad HaBriyot. And not daven the minyan, and daven the yechidus with all the kavanah that one could possibly muster. And unquestionably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognize you're an enes, and enes rachmana patre. The others to say, no, let me go and find a stealthy minyan, a hidden minyan, a furtive minyan. So even though I may be proud of myself for doing that which I did, on the other hand, I could be rachmana l'san, responsible for infecting others or being infected by others with this coronavirus, Rahman al-Islam. That's another example of a lack of Mishkal HaChassidus. One has to know how to weigh different desideratum and come to a decision, a correct decision. Just another example, this is given by the Ramon Shalom. The Ramon writes that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we should try to look for a chazin, of course, that's the ideal, to find a great Rosh Hashiva, a great tzaddik, who could daven for us, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah Berurah right away on the spot says, but let's say there's going to be machlokes as a result of his davening, so he should not daven. Even though at the end, who's going to daven? Someone who's not so hogun, someone who's not the ideal candidate. And that's the Chayyadim also quotes halacha like that from the Sefer Hasidim, and the Maram Shik writes like that, the Gabe, two individuals regarding her. One of them is an Adam Kosher Ben Torah, but he's only able to blow Mitzat Smol Shal HaPeh, only on the left side. Pasuk says, Basot Nomin Al Yamin Al Sitna. And the other Bal Tokiah is an Amoret Mikamei Adas, but he knows how to blow properly, the way he said the Shulchan on the right side. So which one is preferable? So the Mamshik passes Allah, there's no question that this one who has that Maila, he knows how to blow properly, he overrides the other one. But of course, he writes at the end, I want to read his lotion. If it turns out to be a machlokes, there's no point. Ki gobo hashalom. So in order to paskin these shilas, one has to have the Mishkal HaChassidus. How does one get the Mishkal HaChassidus? How does one acquire it? Wow. Not an easy question to answer. The answer is one acquires it by learning Torah. One acquires it by being mishamish.
You hear me?
No answer. Hear you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, there's a technical glitch. I apologize. So how does one acquire this midah of Mishkan HaHasidus? And the answer is that, as I mentioned, one has to learn many, many years. One has to be mishamish tamidei chachamim. One has to somehow absorb from Gedolei Yisrael and listen to Gedolei Yisrael. One has to have a Rebbe, Aser L'Charav. And even after all that, it does not necessarily mean that one will be zochet to the Mishkan HaChasidus. Because it needs an enormous amount of seichel and siyata d'shmaya as well. I once heard a Rav Soloveitchik say, he said this a number of times, he said it in Yiddish. He said, in mein Leben, ich hab gesehen asach geinim. In my life, I saw a lot of geonim, many great tamnei chachamim. Aber ich hab gesehen echet, geinim, was hab mich kein seichel. But I also saw geonim who don't have any seichel, who are missing the basics. So in order to acquire the Mishkan HaChasidus, one has to have, number one, a lot of Torah knowledge, a lot of Shimush Tamnei Chachamim, but at the same time, one has to be zocheh to acquire the proper Seichel and Siyata D'Shmaya that's required to make the decisions. And that's why people have Rabbanim and they ask Rabbanim Shailas. So just to end the musing for a moment, why is it that people have difficulty with Yom HaZikaron and with understanding the state of Israel? Because they don't have the proper Mishkan HaChasidus. They were not zochet necessarily to learn enormous amounts of Torah, to be Mishamish Gedolei Yisrael, and to acquire the Seichel and Siyata D'Shmaya that's necessary in order to understand complicated subjects. So now I'll mention another unbelievable, very basic yisod. This yisod I heard from my daughter, Rebecca Kamenetsky, Zatzal, in 1983. My wife and I went to visit our daughter, Rebecca Kamenetsky, in his home in Muncie. And an unbelievable conversation that we had with him for about an hour and a half or so on a variety of topics. So I asked him about a certain issue. And then he asked me, do I have a knowledge of Jewish history? Do I have a working knowledge of Jewish history? I didn't know how to answer that question, whether I should answer yes or no. But I saw very quickly that Rabbi Yaakov had an unbelievable knowledge of Jewish history. And one of the things he told me was the following. He said, you'll notice throughout Jewish history that we have almost a pattern. Often there's a tkufa of Charonaf, where Hashem has tremendous anger. Puranus comes to Klal Yisrael, and almost right after that, you'll see an unbelievable shefa of rachamim, of rachamim shamayim that we're zochet to. And he brought a number of psukim in Tanakh, We know that Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, but the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Ki Hashem yochiach." Whom does Hashem give tochacha to? Someone that He loves. Ukaav is ben yirza. As a father would give tochacha to a son, so Hashem gives tochacha to Klal Yisrael. The Navi Yishayahu in Perek Yud Aleph, a famous pasuk in the Chazon. Nevuah Yishayo Anavi Biyatsa Chotem Migeza Yishai Benetsa Misharashab Yifre. So from the Seder of the Pesukim, it appears that the Nevuah is referring to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. However, even though Chazal tells us, the Imran Sanhedrin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, but it didn't happen. And the Malbim there, on the spot, explains this Yisod. This is what Hagaon Rabbi Kamenetsky Zatzal told me, that this idea of the Midas Adin followed by Midas Rachamim, this is a common theme throughout Jewish history. There and elsewhere, after the Churban Bayis Yishenu, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba would be the Mashiach, but of course he was mistaken. But he saw this man was Mukhsha Vigula. It was a time that was ripe for Gulas Yisrael. And Hashem wanted to be Mefayes Am Yisrael after the Churban. And as the pasuk says, Dorach Koicha Miyakov, which is a reference to Bar Koicha, but unfortunately, as the Gemara says, Gar Machet. As a result of the transgression, we were not Zoicha to Mashiach. After the expulsion of Jews from Spain and the Inquisition, the Ari HaKadosh and his Chassidim, those who settled in Sfas, were literally ready to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. And there was tremendous excitement and anticipation about the coming of Mashiach. And they almost heard the Pnei Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. And again, even though they saw that the time was ripe, somehow we were not Zoche at that point in time. And this pattern we see throughout Jewish history, said Hagaon Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, and he pointed out to me, let's go now and talk about our day and age, the Balfour Declaration that was the forerunner of giving Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael at the end of the First World War, when many Jewish communities were destroyed, and even the Chafetz Chaim saw Isarusa de Leila. But of course, he was frightened that again, it might be negated, it might be undermined. And now, let's extrapolate from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky told me, and extrapolate to the state of Israel. Upon the heels of the Churban, which was Midas Adin, and Hester Panim writ large, and now suddenly HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity and the unbelievable schus of establishing a state which is remarkable in terms of the potential that it could have for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, besides being a safe haven, a refuge for all those that were, Rahman al-Litzlan, tossed and turned about in the Holocaust and the Shoah. That element of Rachamim, that element of Shefa, of Rachmi Shamayim, is something which, again, is a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam's pattern. First Din, and then Rachamim. And this is the Yesod that we have throughout Jewish history. And this Yesod is with us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Mashkiach of Klal Yisrael. We know that the Dolei HaMachshava pointed out there are two types of Hashgacha. One is Mashkiach Min HaChalonos. One is Basis Min HaCharagim. One is more open. One is more Behest upon him, not so much Begolui. When Ein Ana Osim is Tzono Shemakom, but the Ribbono Shel Olam never deserts Klal Yisrael. Not for a moment. Ribbono Shel Olam is always with us. Sometimes Begolui, sometimes not so Begolui. So what do we have to do, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, on Lamed Aleph, Shemachisim Ad Ladim, we ask him to peace of Yeshua. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, the 11th parak, the Rambam paskins, whoever is not mamin, the Melech HaMashiach, or Mishen of Mechakele B'yoso, lo bishan deviyim b'vahum kofer, ala b'teira u'v'moshe Rabbeinu. It's not sufficient, the way the Rishtov explained, to believe in the coming of Mashiach, but there's an obligation, lehishtokek, lehitgageya, to have a great desire, have a great longing for Mashiach. And chalila, we should think that eventually Mashiach will come. But there'll be a lot of time that has to pass, but rather, as the Navi Malachi says, pitom yavo lecholo ha'odar asher atem bevakshim. He can come at any moment. And this is what we are dominating for constantly, this element of tzipis of the Yeshua. And many of the Mephoshim and Chumash, the Rachaim HaKadosh points this out on the Pasuk, Ki Yodin Hashem Amo V'Yalavadu Yisnechom. First, Rebbe Shalom is going to, I'll read his Lashon, Yamid B'Mishpat Kosot HaTarei L'Asher Aborim, and we'll see many Tzores that passed over Klal Yisrael, Mehem Hargu, Mehem Sarfu, Mehem Mifshitum, even now with the Corona, many, many wonderful, outstanding tzaddikim and tzidkanios were nifta from the corona. What a midas hadin that the Ibn Shalom has sent us. What a tragedy. And that itself should be enough, says the Rachaim HaKadosh, that Hashem should say, die. Enough. Enough tzaros. And he writes, Sheroim kama tzaros rabos rabos sovah hador shavar ha'im ein lanu yisod v'tam nachshov shekorev yom ha'shenem ha'alav ha'ninu goyim mamu and the Rachaim says, "Kishayir Hashem shein koach b'Yisrael lahatzil latzman me'agolus b'koachem b'tzadikin liyaser b'shevet Musa b'magizekel gam lo yisharu b'Yisrael anoshim gedol menaviim chizin baliyuach hakodesh v'hu amaro ki ozlas yad efes otzur v'ozuv." And to a large extent, that nevuah is Mekuyam, has been Mekuyam, even Bismaneinu Anu. The Baditshuva, Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshuva, said to the Ibn Shalom, save, bring Geula to Am Chayil Yisrael b'mehera, so we shouldn't have to, Rahman Litzlan, have recourse to the Goyim saving us. And this is the entire Shir Hashirim. And again now, just going back to the Mishkal HaChassidus that I mentioned earlier, how we have to learn how to weigh things and sift things, and that requires, as I said, enormous knowledge of Torah, Shimush Tamid Chachamim, a lot of Seichel, Siyata Dishmaya. Aban Soloveitchik, in the 60s, a number of times I heard him speak about Yom HaTzmaut. And one of the things he pointed out were Psukim in Malachim Beis, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Chavdalid. The Navi speaks about a Melech Yisrael who was incredibly matzliach, Yerovim ben Yoyosh. And it says about him the following. Vayasa Rab Eni Hashem, he was an evil person. Losor mikol chatis Yerovim ben Nevot asher hefti es Yisrael. He's akin to Yerovim ben Nevot. Chayti yimachti es Arabim. And yet, the Navi describes his atzlocha. Hu heishim es dvul Yisrael milevo chamos ad yom ha'arova. Despite his rishus, unbelievable hatzlacha. Why? So the pasuk itself tells us the reason for his hatzlacha. Ki ro Hashem es ani Yisrael mara ma'id. Hashem saw our matzav was very, very bad. Ve'efes atzur, ve'efes azul, ve'ein ozer li Yisrael. We were literally at the point of no return. And as a result, Hashem decided to use as his shliach Yerovim ben Yoyosh. That's what the pasuk says. Hashem didn't want limchov the Shem Yisrael mitachas Hashemayim by Yoshim miyad Yerovim ben Yoyosh. So you see very clearly, said Abaran Zatzal, that the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael can come about even through shluchim who are not orthodox, not shomer Torah mitzvahs, even Rishonim Gemurim, people who are wicked, harbe shluchim lamokom. And sometimes they're not always the ideal shluchim that we would like to have, that we would like to see, but they're still considered to be Shluchim of Hashem Yisbarach. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ra'isa dor shetzaros rabos bo'os olav kinar chakelo. That's a sign Mashiach is shortly going to be here. And we, even right now, in our present situation, unquestionably, the elements of Mashiach ain't shum safek, with the midas hadin that's in front of us, the corona, that's engulfed the entire world and brought the entire world literally down, there's no question that these are times of Mashiach. Rav Soloveitchik's Zatzal many, many times mentioned the role of the United Nations. He contended that the entire United Nations was founded for one reason, to establish the state of Israel. They did nothing before then and have done nothing since. And essentially what he was saying is the son of his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, which I'm very fond of. And our Soloveitchik, who's named after him, cited this Beis Halevi very, very often. It's mentioned in Chumash, it's mentioned in the Chiddush of the Beis Halevi, in the Drash of the Beis Halevi, and that's the yesod of Stiba u'misodav. Cause and effect. I'll just briefly explain it to you. The beginning of Parshat Mikesh, the Torah says, Vayim Mikesh Rasayim Yamim u'faro cholem yamid aleor. The term Mikesh in Tanakh always refers to the end of an epoch, the end of a tkufa, the end of a zeitgeist. So suddenly Paro becomes a dreamer. We didn't hear prior to this, heretofore, we did not hear Paro being a dreamer. He becomes a dreamer. He has a dream. He's chatum in Mitzrayim, astaymid, vayiva boker vatipoim rucho, vayishach vayikras kol chatumei Mitzrayim is kol chachomero, vayisafer Paro lehem is chalom, vayimposer osam lefaro, no one could possibly interpret his dream to his satisfaction. Finally, Yosef comes to his attention, interprets the dream to his satisfaction. There were many dreamologists, and he didn't like any of their approaches. Yosef interprets the dream, Lirutzono Shaparo, and becomes the Mishnah of Malach Mitzrayim. So it would seem that, how do we understand this narrative? Very simply, Paro had a dream, he was frustrated, he was thwarted, he called dreamologists, they weren't successful. He called Yosef, Yosef was successful, he becomes the Mishnah of Malach. The cause of everything was what? Was Paro's dream. The effect was Yosef becoming the Mishnah of Malach Mitzrayim. Says the Beis Halevi, as our Soloveitchik put it, Geschichte ibegedreht auf den Kopf. Just the opposite. Punkt verkehrt. Not as one would think, but rather, Beis Halevi calls it Medrash. Medrash tells us, Igi azman sheyosef ho ya'omu li'ishtachrem b'beis ha'asurim. The end of Ayeshev, if you recall, that Yosef was destined because of whatever hishtadlus he did, as Rashi quotes at the end of Vayeshev, to remain 2 more years in prison, and that's why he became Rasayim Yomim, when those 2 years are over. And then Paro has the dream. So the Medrash says, quotes the Pasuk in Iyov, Ketzom l'cheshech u'lechol tachlis u'chokeh. Says the Medrash in that Pasuk in Iyov, an end came to the darkness, u'lechol tachlis u'chokeh, the time came for Yosef to be no longer in prison, no longer to be in incarceration, and therefore Paro had a dream. In other words, according to the Medrash, says the Beis Halevi, the cause was Yosef and the effect was Paro. Exactly the opposite of how we would have interpreted it. Beis Halevi brings a number of very fascinating riots to this yesod. I'll just mention a brief raya, very famous raya, when the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, and then later on they came to Lot. So the pasuk says in the context of Lot, "Umatzos ofer vayochelu," that he offered them matzos, achnasas ochel. Why is he offering them matzos? Says Rashi, "Pesach haya." It was the Yom of Pesach. Esther Beis Halevi, what in heaven's name is going on here? Doesn't matzah have to do with we just had the Yom Tov? Shall he speak? Shall betekam shabbos seimul ahachmitz that we had a run out of Egypt, b'chipazon, yatzonu me'eretz Mitzrayim, and as a result, we weren't able to bake. The entire process was not completed, and because of that, we ate matzah. Ma'inyan matzah, it's a lot. What does matzah have to do with lot? In the language of Rashi, ma'inyan shmita, it's a hasinai, ma'akesher. What's the connection? Matzah only comes to the fore years later in the context of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does Rashi mention it by Lo? Says the Beis Halevi, Nehotatos. We have a major error over here. We think that the reason why we ate matzah, because of what happened when we left Mitzrayim, a mistake. The Torah tells us by Erev Tov matzahs. The only mitzvah d'oraisa that applies to Leil HaSeder is the mitzvah to eat matzah. No, but why would Sam HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to eat matzah? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He effects massive changes in the saga of Klal Yisrael from Avraham Avinu's day, starting from the Avtocha of Mishpat HaPsoim, Ki Geri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lohem, Va'avodu Binu Asom Va'abame Yoshana, Degam Asagoy Asher Avodu Don Alochi, V'yachar Yechei Yetzu B'Rechush Gobo. Why? In order that I should be able to be Mekai in the Mitzvah of Matzah. Because we think the Mitzvah of Matzah came about because it's Yes Mitzvah. Pum Fakir, just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to go ahead and create the saga of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And all this goes back to the Eitza Amuka Shalai Sid Tzadik HaKavu B'Chevron, Ki Geri Yezarach of Eretz Lovahem. And this is the pshat in the Pasuk, Ba'avur Zeh Osa Hashem Li B'Tzaisi Mi Mitzrayim. So we know what the Mechilta says, Ba'avur Zeh Lo Amarti Ela B'Shtosh Shematzeh Mar Nachum B'Vadacha. Some of you can point to. Says the Beis Halevi, Ba'avur Zeh, Ba'avur Zeh refers to matzah. Because of matzah, also Hashem Li, B'tzeisim Mitzrayim, the Rebbe Shem effected the entire drama of Shibud Mitzrayim, Avdus Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, in order we should be kind of Mitzvah Matzah. Okay, I'm not here right now to discuss this Beis Halevi, but the Yisod is a correct Yisod. Namely, we have to figure out what is the cause, what is the effect. I've said many, many times that I'm convinced beyond convincing. Yishtachnati Lagambri. And the reason why President Donald Trump became the President of the United States is because of Eretz Yisrael. Ain't shum safek. I see no other reason why he could have become President of the United States. Ribbono Shel Olam decided that we need here a lot of chasodim. And he became the shliach to carry out the chasodim. As the Pasuk says in Tanakh, Lein Malachim B'Sarim B'Yad Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who controls. He is GPS par excellence. He is ways, he navigates all the traffic, and the Melech is simply a puppet in the hands of the puppeteer. So too, said Rav Soloveitchik, the United Nations. People think the United Nations was established in order that we should be able to have first the League of Nations, then the United Nations, and we're all going to get together and all live together. B'shalom, b'shalva, b'achdus. All going to live together in unity, as the Navi tells us. The messianic vision, the garzavim keves, the namem gedir butz. And who's going to bring that about? The United Nations. So Rav Soloveitchik said, "Anechtigatog." That's absolute balderdash. They have one function, and their function came to the fore, Dafka, in 1948, with the founding of the state. That's why they were created. That was their sole function. And since then, so the same you saw of cause and effect. One can see over there, and one can see throughout Jewish history. Moshe Lamad Dover Dome, I once asked Rav Soloveitchik, what's the pshat in the Gemara Yevamos? The Gemara says, Ein lechom abod yoylem elu b'shul Yisrael. So I was a candidate to be drafted in the Vietnam War. I wasn't really so interested in fighting the Viet Cong. That was not my interest in life. And so there were many draft dodging yeshivas that were established then. All of a sudden we all became smicha students while studying for the rabbinate in order to avoid going to the boondocks of Vietnam. So I asked the Rav, what's the pshat in the Gemara? Ein lechom abod yoylem b'shul Yisrael. So he told me over from his uncle, the Briskov, a famous piece that's found in the beginning of the Briskov, on Bereshis, Chidusha agrees on Altera, where he cites a Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis. The Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis talks about an oasis in the desert that apparently Kimat was never used. And one day, a person who is thirsty and tired and hungry, a Talmud Chacham comes, and all of a sudden he sees an oasis in the desert, and he's able, Baruch Hashem, to slake his thirst and to drink from the oasis, he's parched, and he's able to rest in the shade of a tree that's there. Why was that oasis created? Why was that tree created? It wasn't used for decades. And the answer is, says the Rambam based on the Pasuk in Iyov, Yochin Rosha, Yilbash Tzadik. The Rosha, 100 years before, prepared this oasis, that 100 years from then, a tzaddik will pass by and be able to be nene from that oasis and from that tree. And in a similar vein, that's how we should view Jewish history. Jewish history has to be seen in terms of cause and effect. And often that which we think is the cause is really the effect, and that which we think is the effect is really the cause. The founding of the State of Israel came about on the heels of the Shoah, a terrible time of Hester Ponim, when we needed Rachmei Shamayim so desperately. We needed a Makom
where Klal Yisrael could establish themselves, could reestablish themselves, could find themselves, and Ribbono Shel Olam, in his unbelievable chesed, boundless chesed, somehow activated the formation of the United Nations, and that emerged in order to establish the State of Israel, because that moment was critical for the continuing flourishing and prosperity of Am Yisrael or Klal Yisrael. So now let's continue in our investigation of Heyiyar, of Yom HaAtzmaut. Over the past several decades, I've been conducting my own personal study of the celebration or non-celebration of the 5th of Iyar. And there are really three approaches that are taken by Klal Yisrael. One is that Heyiyar is the most decisive factor in my religious status. It is the most fundamental principle. The underpinnings of Klal Yisrael are essentially undergirded by Heyiyar. Most important yisod in Kol HaTorah Kula. That's one approach. And it takes on a theological, a halachic life of its own. It overshadows all my other mitzvah observance, or my non-observance. And depending on the neighborhood, on the shul that I live in, a person who does not say halal on Yom HaTzmaut with a bracha, without a bracha, with or without blue pants and a white shirt, with or without a suras mitzvah, don't even bother trying to please God. You miss the boat. No amount of limud haTorah or chesed can make up for that grave omission. Ikar chosim min haSefer. That's one approach. And then let's take the other approach, the other extreme. The other extreme. Why, did something happen on a year? Is that on the calendar? Is that in the Jewish calendar? I look at my luach. I don't see it there. It just says there, hey year. What's that? Why would anyone do anything special on that day? So you tell the person, are you aware that there's a State of Israel? And you're living in the State of Israel? Oh, I thought the State of Israel simply is. For example, there's also another miracle. Kosher parva bacon bits. That's a miracle. And State of Israel is a miracle. L'may nafkamina. It's all part of the wondrous Jewish times we live in. And I'm not getting into the details of that position, which I call benign neglect. And then there are other variations of that position, which I will not discuss. It seems to me, the way I was in the Kabbalah from my Rabbein, my Masorah, there is a position in the middle between these two extremes, between these two poles, between the position of the creation of the State of Israel was a Maaseh Satan, or, on the other hand, the creation of the State of Israel was purely but there is a position which I believe is in between these two positions that I would like to describe. And it begins with the Ramban. Ramban is found in Shiashirin, in Parakhes. Rabban writes over there, Perachet Pasuk Yud Gimel. He describes the beginning of future Geula, and he says at one point, I'm not reading the entire Ramban, I'm just reading part of it. He says, V'achakach yavo hanefutzos hamefuzorim ben ha'amim, those that were displaced, those that were exiled, they're going to gather. V'somu lahem rosh shechad hu Mashiach ben David, sheyo yimoyim begolos, there will be a Mashiach ben David who is with us in Golos. U'v'rishon malchei ha'umos u'v'yazrasam yelchul eretz Yisrael. What a statement of the Ramban. We're going to receive permission from the governments of the world to return to Eretz Yisrael. Kedesiv ve'eil is kol acheichem. Ve'yi ha'malchus ha'i nimshach v'in apostik ve'olam. And the Ramban says, somehow that's going to remain. It's a quotation from the Ramban. And we receive permission from the governments of the world to live and to return to Eretz Yisrael. And we know the Navi Yirmiyahu, in a well-known series of psukim, the Navi Yirmiyahu writes as well, Ko Amar Hashem, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Odi Shama Mamokim Azeh, in this place which is Charev, which is desolate, Mein Adam, Mein Behema, Mein Yoshev, Mein Behema, Kol Sasa, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasim, Kol Kala, Kol Omrim Hodu Es Hashem Tzvokos, Ki Tom Hashem Ki Diolam Chazdom, Mevim Todav Es Hashem Ki Oshiv Eshmus Haaretz, Ki Barishon Ha'am Hashem. The Baal Shem says, I'm gonna, once again, there will be the sound of joy, the sound of Chassanim and Kalos, grooms and brides, those who are going to be praising Hashem is Barach. That's what we're going to hear, as the Navi describes here, Yirmiyahu, and Yitzchak Hashem, the Navi indicates it's going to happen, and Baruch Hashem is Maneinu Ono, we're zochet to see that Nevuah come to fruition. So who merited to see this? The Vilna Gaon sent Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov sent Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael, not all them, of these Talmidim, of their Talmidim were zochet, but we are zochet. And we know that Navi Yechezkel tells us as well, in Perek Lamed Vov, the Navi tells us about the Hori Yisrael, and the Gemara actually quotes this in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara indicates to us that there were desolate ruins, and now there are going to be a fructification. The Navi speaks about the fruit that's going to be given forth, and the light. And it would seem that this Nevuah is being Mekuyim is Maneinu Anu. Ramban writes in Chumash, a well-known Ramban in the Pasuk, V'shomu ala oyveichem ha'yeshim ba. There were many, many nations of the world who tried to colonize Eretz Yisrael. They were totally unsuccessful. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Vayikra, V'shomu ala oyveichem ha'yeshim ba. As long as the nations of the world attempt to colonize Eretz Yisrael and to live here, they will be totally unsuccessful. It will remain Shamein. Eretz Yisrael is loyal only to Am Yisrael, only to Klal Yisrael, only to the Shluchim of Hashem Yisbarach. Eretz Yisrael is exceptionally loyal. And therefore Eretz Yisrael is not ready to accept any of the Umos HaOlam, not ready to accept any colonies. And that's the Gemara in Tzadiches and Tzadegrim. Ein Lecha Keitz. Rav Abba saying the statement, Ein Lecha Keitz V'gula Mizeh. Shenem I quote the Pasuk in Yechezkel, the Atem Hori Yisrael, Antlechem Titnu, Kriyechem, Tisu the Abba Yisrael, and that itself, that fructification seems to be Mekuyam Bismaneinu Anu. And therefore, Chazal, in effect, tell us that we are living in an unbelievable period of time. And I'm not going to go through the entire piece I was going to discuss, Rabbi Alevi, the Kuzari, very well-known piece. And there he speaks about people who daven, but in reality, he says, their tefillos are no different than, as he quotes it, it's the chattering of the starling, or the nightingale. They don't even realize what they're saying. We thank Hashem every day. And anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, all of us who are zeichet to live here, we know that we are rogel b'nisin. We are surrounded by nisin, literally. V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. And of course, we're not happy about the attitude of the state of Israel towards religion. And we know about the efforts of the secular Zionists to eradicate religion. And when we look at Heir, it's far from the Eretz Yisrael of our dreams, but consider the following. For several thousand years, we had no control of Eretz Yisrael. We couldn't come here. We couldn't build institutions. We couldn't create social structures without the permission of the non-Jewish world. We're at the mercy of other religions with no recourse but our tefillos. And now, Baruch Hashem, for the last many decades, we're zochet to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And unquestionably, there are many outstanding and wonderful B'nai and B'nos Torah who live today in Eretz Yisrael and have the ability, Baruch Hashem, to raise children and to be mechanik them in a proper, appropriate kind of way. And therefore, there's no question that this is the Hashgacha. The Kuzari, as I imagine probably most of you are aware, at the end of the Sefer, the Chaver, the Jew, convinced the Melech HaKuzarim, the king of the Khazars of the liberty of Judaism, tells the king he's leaving for Eretz Yisrael. The king is very upset that his mentor is leaving, tries to persuade him to stay, and the king points out to him that the divine presence, the Shekhinah, is not even recognizable there now. We're talking about the 1100s, approximately. It's a very dangerous journey to get there, very dangerous to live there, and he should remain where he is, considering what he accomplished in Golos with this group of people, the Khazarim or Kuzarim. And the king ends by saying, Hashem knows your intentions, and why do you have to really bother going to Eretz Yisrael? And the Chaver answers, true, but that's only when it's not possible to bring your intentions into practice. We have free will, we have Bechira Chavshis, not only regarding intentions, but regarding our actions. If the action is impossible, only then there is what to be gained by ensuring we have the proper intentions and apologizing to Hashem for our lack of actions. But if actions are not impossible, then good intentions are insufficient. Kavanasecha rituyot, avamasecha eina rituyot. And therefore, there's no question that all of us, even those who are living in Chutz Laaretz, have to think about the possibility of living in Eretz Yisrael. And even though I heard once from Agoyim Avraham Soloveitchik, many decades ago, he commented on the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis on Pei Zayin comments on the Psukim in Tehillim. Tehillim Pei Zayin, number 87. So there, it's a Mizmor of Nekeach. So in the context of that Mizmor, there's a pasuk that says, Uvetzion ye'omer ish ve'ish yulad bo. And the Gemara says, Echad hador bo, ve'echad ha'metzapel le'roisa. Someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, or someone who desires to see her, what does that mean? So there's a basic distinction between Tzion and other countries regarding Babel and Mitzrayim. Only someone who's born there considered to be a citizen of those countries. But regarding Tzion, there are two types of people who can be called B'nai Tzion. Someone who's born there, and someone who has a tshuka, a desire, a great yearning to see Tzion and to live there. And he told over the following story. At the time of the British mandate over Palestine, so the British authorities set up a law that set up basically a quota of Jews who could enter Palestine. The Jews from Romania might be given 100 certificates to enter Palestine. So once happened that the Romanian quota was only filled by Romanian Jews, and the Czechoslovakian quota was not yet filled. So a number of Romanian Jews who wanted to enter Palestine thought of producing false affidavits stating that they were born in Czechoslovakia. But being God-fearing people, Yirei Mushleimim, they inquired of Rabbi Chaim Zunefeld, are they allowed to do so? Rabbi Zunefeld answered, that would be dishonest, a total lack of yashus. So the pasuk says, that it's a to'eva to do something that's dishonest, the pasuk in Dvarim. So then, the same Jews that were involved in this first situation then contrived to produce a false affidavit they were born in Palestine. And again, they asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zonnefeld, is that permitted? And he answered, yes. They said, why is that different than the first situation, which was Sheker and not Joshua's? And he answered, based on the Gemara Subis, that the Gemara says, quotes this pasuk, the Gemara says, not Ayin Hei in Subis, quotes the pasuk in Tehillim Pei Zayin, Ulutzion Yomer Ish Vish Yulad Bo, Echad Ador Bo, Vechad Ametzap Bo Leisa. But even someone who desires to live there or see Eretz Yisrael is considered to be for the Bnei Tzion as well. So all of us, even those who live in Chutz Aretz, certainly have to have, minimally, that desire to live in Eretz Yisrael. Our Soloveitchik used to mention that there were people who contended that living outside Eretz Yisrael was a better option for Orthodox Jews than those living in Israel, because outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have Daf Yomis, and you have Chapanash, every dollar Amis, and Eretz Yisrael is ripe with heretics. All kinds of Abikursim here. And outside, I can create these ghettos, insular ghettos, and eliminate all outside influences. And even though the advocates of this position essentially bring strange kind of proofs to buttress their opinion, as Salvation said, he had the best proof against it. With all the ghettos that Jews created, from Brooklyn to Johannesburg to Gateshead, none was more kadosh than the Machane Levia, when Klal Yisrael were in their sojourn 40 years in the desert where Moshe Rabbeinu himself lived. And despite the kedusha of that encampment, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechir HaNaviim, he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ebrono, V'eretz Oretz HaTev HaShem Ebra HaYardin, HaHor HaTev HaZeh V'Avonon. Moshe knew that even the kedusha of Machane Levia did not approach that of Eretz Yisrael. And if Moshe himself made such a request, then Rav Soloveitchik said, and I want to quote his language, then the same request should be made by all the purported saints of today who minimize the significance of living in Eretz Yisrael. Unquote. So I just want to address perhaps a few more issues in this vein. And I mentioned already earlier the Tzukim in Tanakh, Yerubim ben Yoash. I'm not going to go through now the different halachic frameworks for Yom HaTzmaut. That requires a separate shiur. But I want to mention someone who had a massive influence in my life. Two people when I was a very young man, literally a young child. My father, Lashon, who never went to yeshiva day in his life. My mother, Leah Shalom, who never went to yeshiva day in her life, unfortunately. But my father started learning at a very young age. He was one of these autodidactic types. And he told me, he came across a number of times in Chazal, the following expression. Puk chazi ma'am adva. Take a look at how the average person sees things. My father was very taken by that. I went to the Rav Soloveitchik to see a shir about the beauty of Balabatim. Of course, Balabatim who are b'nei Torah, who are Yerei Mushleimin, who work for a living, who make parnasa, who are Bali Chesed, Kobe'itim b'Torah, good to their families, to God and to light. That's what my mother Hashem used to say. Puk chazi ma'am adva. So my father, when the state of Israel was sounded, and I wasn't around, my father told me a few years later, when I was around, he was so taken by the founding of the state of Israel, he told us the greatest act of Hashkocha in his lifetime. The greatest act of divine providence of the Rebbe Shalom was to establish the state of Israel and give Klal Yisrael a homeland, not just refugees in the wake of the Holocaust, were able to survive and prosper and flourish, but more than that, provide a connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, Eini Hashem Elokech Abba, Meireshis Shana Rachu Shana, where the Ramban explains in Chumash. And my father was so taken that on his own, my father introduced the minhag on Yom HaTzmaut. He said, starting from Pashach, he said Chatzi Halo without a bracha after davening. My father was not a halachis. He didn't know much. He never went to yeshiva. He wasn't trained. He felt the need to say Shemach Boido Hashem Yisbarach. That welled up within him. And he told me to say it with tears. And at the age of 5 or 6 already, I started doing the same. My father said Chatzi Halo without a bracha after davening. And so did I. But there was another Rav in the shtibol, a small shtibol that we daven in, who was a Holocaust survivor, who lost his wife and children in the Holocaust. And he also did the same. He also, with unbelievable demot shalish, demot of simcha, he would say, Chatzi Halo without a bracha after davening. This whole shtibol, I'm talking about in the 50s. Would say Chatzi Halo without a bracha on Yom HaTzmaut. Before we knew about the chief rabbinate and the rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael and the Dinat Yisrael, somehow there was that sense. I once heard from her Rav Nevenzel Shlita that his Rebbe Moron Agoyin Hashomu Zalman Oyabach Zatzal was fond of quoting with great affection the words of the great God of Yisrael Agoyin Hashomu Kluga. In his Tshuva to Elav Rosh Shlomo. I want to just read that statement. And I remember I told this to my father as a Chayim Zvacha, and he was so enamored of this. To him, this was a statement of Puk Hazim Ayam Advar. Sometimes the average person, even though he's not lettered and not literate and not so knowledgeable in learning and never went to yeshiva, but sometimes they have a hargosha. They have a sense, a sensitivity that there are great things happening. And we have to respond to it. We have to say Shemach V'Odot Hashem Yisbarach. Rav Shlomo Kluga writes the following: Umasha Shoal, that which you ask, your inquiry regarding a certain issue. What is my custom? Yodea, you should know. Ki ani eneni noeg shum dvar chumra yose midalat ha'om umehed yot shemehedetet. I never noeg anything. I don't practice any stringency more than the most simple of simpletons. Halavai sheyechelki loyim haba. I pray that my portion loyim haba be with whom? With these davatam people. Amar da'ara hoylich tomim bedalusam. I should walk with them in their simple innocence and humility. Rav Nevenzel Shlita told me Shlomo Zalman Oyabach was very fond of quoting this statement of Agoyin Hashomu Kluga. And when I told him my father's Zechayim Lebracha, he jumped for joy. He saw this, Puk Hazim Ayam Advar. How did the average person see the founding of the State of Israel? They saw it as the greatest act of divine providence of this century. What an act of Hashkocha. What an act of Chiba. What an act of Rachamim, of love that Hashem Yisbarach showed Klal Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out that throughout the generations, as we know, the Goyim used to have very sharp antenna which institutions they would attack. Shabbos, Mila, Rosh Chodesh, during the Roman period. However, the Rav said, there's no question that today, what has become the Arkas of the Misana, that is the Zeres HaShmad, the Gemara said in Sanhedrin, against the Minig Yisrael. So the halachi is that minhag Yisrael becomes something that a person is obligated to give up his or her life. You heard about Yavar? Today it's the State of Israel. Anti-Semitism classically related to different parts of Yiddishkeit, as I mentioned, Shabbos, Mila, Rosh Chodesh. Today, anti-Semitism is anti-State of Israel. That's what I heard Rav Soloveitchik say a number of times. And the Goyim have this unbelievable antenna. They know exactly where our Kodesh Kadoshim is. They have tremendous antenna. And that antenna led them to this Maskana. And that we see is Ramenu Ono, unfortunately, with a plethora of anti-Semitism. Dafka directed against the State of Israel, which takes on a Kedusha of its own. So let me just, since I began with Hakaras HaTov, end with Hakaras HaTov, the biggest yisoid in our emunah is being makir tov to Hashem Yisbarach, And Akar Satov, as I mentioned, applies to anyone and everyone, and even to someone who may cause me hardship and difficulty, as the Egyptians of old, or society, Nitzi Kigera Issa Barzo. I'm very fond of telling people that one of the thousand reasons I came to Eretz Yisrael was in order to be Zeicher to Brichat Kohanim on a daily basis, and I try to be very makbid to give a Yashikeach to the Kohanim. So that's what my followers told me to do. Hakara Satov. Someone gives you a bracha, you say, thank you. I have many explanations to that. I won't go into it now. But Hakara Satov, you say that, you say that. A Reach Tov, Mahu Omer, the Gemara says, what is the good? A Reach, what does he say? Kama Tircho Tachmah Abayi Bishrili. Kama Basar Evi Lefanai. Kama Yai Evi Lefanai. Look at all the wonderful, bountiful foods that he's showing me. Kama Guslo, Evi Lefanai. Bekom Asher Torach, Leitorach Ado Bishrili. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Mareach in Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam serves us luxus, so many luxuries, so many beautiful things that we're zeichah to hear in Eretz Yisrael. And in a reach ra, what will he say? What did he do for me? He did it for somebody else. He didn't do it for me. What a kofi tov. What a terrible midah. What a terrible madrega. And once you have such a midah, one has to learn to be makir tov, Hashem Yisbarach, Bein Letov, Bein Lamutov. And we know there's an inyan of loving Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer Haredim, Rabbi Elazar Askari writes, Lo l'namid kategoria of Eretz Yisrael. Not to speak badly in Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. There's no Sivud Mefurish in the Torah, one has to love Eretz Yisrael, as far as I know. But certainly that's the Ratzon Hashem. We should not be like the Dor HaMidbar. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. But we should love the chemda of Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, as the Bill Gaon writes, chemda kol ha'elyonim v'tachtonim. He so much wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, was not open to. And we don't love Eretz Yisrael because of its beautiful landscapes, but because in Eretz Yisrael, we can be zeicher to ruchnius at the highest of levels, to nevuah, which we cannot be zeicher to in Chutz Aretz. Here we can be zeicher to a place where the Beis Hamikdash, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, will be built shortly, the Sanhedrin, and all the possible ruchnius tikkun hasogus that one can be zeicher to dafka in Eretz Yisrael. And so, Hakara Satov is the yesod, kol hanishama tehaloka haluka, with every neshima. Have to be makir tov to Hashem Yisbarach, and especially in these very heavy days that we are living in of Corona, but we still have to recognize all the efforts on the part of Medinat Yisrael to bring us together, and hopefully, be'ezrat Hashem, to build a country which is prosperous, which flourishes economically, but also can reach incredible spiritual heights. I just want to end with the story from Rav Kook Zatzal that he told about his school days as a youngster in White Russia. The winters were fierce, the snows were massive, the roads were impassable, and he and the other Talmidim lived on a hill, and the school was at the bottom of the hill, and he and his classmates would somehow usually fail to negotiate the difficult downward trek, and they would appear in school bruised and battered. At the same time, the Rebbe would arrive. Somehow, he was spotless. He was safe. He was clean. And he was asked by his charges, by his Talmidim, how did you manage that feat? And he replied, there's a stake that's fastened into the hill, and another one here at the school, and a rope connects them, the chevel. Hold on to that lifeline, and you'll be safe. But to quote the Lashon of Rav Kook Zatzal in Yiddish, "As min ish zugebunden in oben, glitch min ish oben, auf unten." If you're firmly anchored above, you will not fall here below. So our efforts are to work on behalf of the state of Israel, Be makir tov to those that are navigating the shoals. And we have to be anchored in the profound sense of hakaras hatov to Hashem Yisbarach for this boundless act of chesed. We have to try to endow Yom HaTzmaut with enhanced spiritual meaning. And hopefully, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, if we all work together to that cause, we'll be zeichet to what we need, Bizmaninu Anu, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesudim Batzorah Vashivya, Ha'omdim Be'im Hayom Be'im Hayabosho, Ha'mokim Yirachim Aleyem, Yotzi'em, Mitzorah Levocha, Me'atelo Le'oiro, Mishubu Degula, Hashtor Ba'agol of Bizman Koriv, May this Yom HaTzmaut, Hey'iyar, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, enhance our lives, as B'nai Torah and B'nos Torah will continue to, B'ezrat Hashem Yisbarach, work towards the achdus of all the Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, founded upon this doctrine of Hakaras HaTov, and with that, halavai we should be zocheh, b'karov, to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and Binyan Yerushalayim, b'mher b'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.
Thank you, Rebbe. Shkaya.
We appreciate it.
Shkaya, thank you.
Well done.
That's
a lot in the back.
I think Sebastian's moving in there.
Is it
a single family house? Or? I think he's moving there, Sebastian.
Be well.
Thank you, Rabbi David.